With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, everybody. I'm looking at the latest snowpack numbers.
Yeah.
Good Lord. 181% of normal for the date of February 27th. And 156% of a full season's average.
Boy, is this the worst forecast that they ever made?
Oh, the La Nina about four months ago?
Yeah, 91% chance that we'd have a drier than normal winter. I think this may be the worst. Just in the scope of it, they missed for so many months by so much.
Except, remember, is it 10 years ago now almost? They predicted a massive El Nino that did not happen, then did happen the next year.
Right. No, they...
Remember, Garcetti was out there warning people.
Oh, that's...
You're going to need to take cover. There's going to be so much water. It's going to flood you.
He created a whole new emergency center.
Yeah, some department, right? Yeah.
Right, yeah.
An emergency office to handle what he thought was going to be a devastating winter of rain, which did not happen.
Right, and everybody went to the emergency office, and they sat there for 3 months waiting for a storm. That didn't arrive for 10 years.
Yes. And now this year, the opposite. They were predicting nothing, continued drought. What I keep thinking of is, we have the apocalypse desk.
Yeah.
And I think one of the lines in there is Jerry Brown. It may not rain for decades. It may not rain for hundreds of years. It may not rain ever again. Something like that.
And he said the temperatures were going to go to 135 degrees.
Oh, in the valleys, right.
And now we can't get out of the 40s. In Burbank here, it's 48, and that's the high for the day. You ever remember a high temperature being 48? We're only a few degrees off from New York City. This is East Coast winter weather here.
But I'm still going to see a story in about 2 months from the El Segundo Times that climate change is the highest temperature ever for the year or something.
Or the woke progressive
propaganda. The average temperatures for 2022 were record highs or something.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, there's no more drought. We have no global warming here in California. Nothing. It's cold and it's wet and it's a record snowfall. It seems up in the mountains.
I learned a new meteorological term: snow water equivalent. You ever heard of that one? Snow water equivalent.
It's to convert snow into how much water.
Very good. At water depth, if the snow was liquid.
Yeah.
And the latest storm increased the state's snow water equivalent by around 4 inches to 40 feet, 6 inches.
Yeah. Well, most of it's going to get washed into the ocean once it starts to melt.
Yeah, I know. I had to explain that to my family because someone's, catch all that water. We heard about your drought. Put out rain barrels.
You know,
and I said, well, the policy here, although Do you see Newsom made a move to give the farmers a little more water and not the salmon? I guess that was announced last week.
Yeah, no,
to divert some of the water to the farmers.
I'm so sick of hearing about the salmon. I really am. They could go extinct.
The state has a long history of like a suicide pact.
Screw the salmon. Grow them in those salmon farms that McClintock was talking about the other day. Yeah, build a big bathtub or something and grow the salmon there. Enough of this.
The Delta smelt. And nobody even eats that.
The Delta smelt is flimsy little 2-inch fish. And I've seen photos of it. And you don't want to look at the Delta smelt. That's an ugly little fish. It can't possibly do any good for anybody.
You should have went up to your mountain house. It looks like people got snowed in up there. I see this Lake Arrowhead. Thousands have been snowed in. 6 feet? I saw one place had 93 inches of snow was the report.
Well,
one of the high mountains.
On social media, there is a site devoted to the development area we live in. And people were showing that they were trapped in their homes because you open the front door and you've got about 4 or 5 feet of snow right in front of you, right at the door.
I know. You have to shovel your way through it.
The snow was halfway up to their windows. In fact, what did I see last night on one of the TV newscasts? A couple of families had decided to rent out a place, maybe Airbnb, and they didn't pack enough food because they thought they were going to go home Sunday, right? Kids got to go to school Monday, and they can't. And so the husbands were sent down to trek all the way down the mountain till you get to the grocery store, and then all the way back up. It took them 5 hours.
Oh, they're like settlers.
Yep. 5 hours.
The men have to venture out and forage.
Yeah, and it's easy to do because depending on how you use a place, you can go up there for a weekend, and then maybe you're not back for a month, right? So you don't buy a lot of food because it's just all going to go bad. You're going to throw it out. And, you know, who expected something like this? And they do a pretty good job clearing the main roads up there. But this nobody can clear. I mean,
this happened so quickly.
Like 6 feet of snow.
Right, in a short period of time.
I mean, we've been up there since 2005, and I don't ever remember anything close to this. And we've been in snowstorms up there, and, you know, power's gone out and the whole thing, right? If you go up there often enough, you'll run into something. But this is just beyond, off the charts beyond.
Yeah, I'm seeing that a number of people are stuck in the San Bernardino Mountains because of the heavy snow. They're stuck in their homes.
I don't want to hear about any dope that went hiking, though.
I haven't heard anybody gone hiking.
No rescue crews for that guy.
And they never found that actor that was missing, right? Did you see that story a couple of months ago? There's an actor that went hiking and has not been found.
Springtime.
Julian Sands, I believe his name was.
Well, you know,
I actually remembered him from movies in the 80s. He's a little older now, but I remember the name and I saw that. It's like they found another guy that was out hiking, but they didn't find him. And this is before the storms.
You know, you just can't do that in icy, snowy conditions.
No.
I mean, I've seen, you know, some of the hiking paths, and it's really steep and it's really narrow, and you're right on the edge of a cliff, and you have loose rocks and dirt next to you. And there's been a lot of erosion and a lot of water, you know, you take one step and boom, you're down, 3,000 feet and you're in a snowbank, and, eventually the animals will come and take care of the rest of you.
That's nice.
Well, that's what happens.
Yeah. Sometimes they find a body like months later.
Yeah. Probably
somebody
in the
just happens to walk the same area and they're ready to go.
Occasionally they find, you know, a group of bones at the bottom of a cliff, and that's the guy that fell back in January.
Yeah,
after the snow melts, you find that stuff.
Poor fella.
It's like, don't do that.
Yeah,
there's so much stuff for you, just don't do it.
And it turns out you're right. You read a couple of weeks ago that there was a feeling that mid-February the rainy conditions were going to come back to SoCal, and they have, obviously, from the last week. But now they're thinking it may linger through March, that we may get another rainy month after this. Not heavy rain, though. Nobody's predicting the incredible thing we saw last week.
But even days like this are depressing. Just the gloom and the steady, even if it's a lighter rain. It's like, this is the stuff I left the East Coast for. It's like,
odd that I do? I do a lot of odd things, but I like to see when our weather passes through California with the jet stream and heads east. Where does it go? And often, you do see a couple days later, the East Coast gets a big snowstorm, or Chicago. So I was like, all right, Friday night was that Those wins were incredible, by the way. I thought everything was going to blow off my house, the dish, satellite dish on top, or those really fierce wins. I think it was Friday night.
Yeah.
So I kept, where did they go? And it wasn't until today that I looked at a website and saw, oh my gosh, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma had huge tornadoes. That's where the winds went. What do they call them? The derechos? Derechos?
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's spelled D-E-R-E-C-H-O. And it's similar to a tornado, except the winds blow straight and flatten things straight ahead rather than swirling.
Right.
And wrecking the homes. But it causes similar damage to tornadoes in a straight line.
Yeah, I heard the usual guy on the news. I forget which state he was in, Oklahoma. I've been here a long time. I ain't never seen winds like this charge through here. And you have a lot of people, some people living in the mobile homes.
Well, right in front of the iHeart entrance here in Burbank, two trees are down.
Oh.
Three.
No kidding. I saw two right in front of the...
Three. There's a third one behind the second one.
They just planted these.
Like 2 months ago.
Oh. With the eucalyptus on your property or next door to your property stayed up?
Yeah, but that it's leaning.
No.
We were looking at it this morning. I'll try. There's one guy living behind us. He's got about four of these huge trees. And from what I understand, I haven't talked to him directly. He doesn't want to hear about it. No. And if they go down, it crushes our house or a couple of other neighbors, depending on which way the wind's blowing.
Depending on the damage, it could be a legal situation there. He doesn't care.
Yeah, but we got two trees down right in the pavilion area in front of the building.
Right. Oh, I guess. Oh, yeah. Eric sent a little movie of the down trees to me. Look at that. Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, those are big.
Yeah,
wow. So. Didn't work.
Yeah, they just planted those like 2 months ago. Just did a whole new like landscaping at the in the like patio area.
Oh, yeah.
Area
I see.
Front.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah, that's probably why they didn't really take too well.
Now they have yellow crime scene tape all around the trees.
They do. That's right. Be careful. The tree's already fallen. It's not going to hit you, but just don't walk into it while it's on the ground. I guess that's what that means. All right. We got more coming up. Oh, guess who's back in the news? We have an update on former Mayor Yoga Pants, disgraced former Mayor Yoga Pants and his India ambassador nomination. And then... this is not earth-shattering news because a lot of government agencies have been looking at the origins of COVID, but there's one that issued a report over the weekend saying that, at least according to their research, it was probably a lab leak. And this has set off a firestorm, as you might expect, in the whole community of this kind of research. Talking about all this stuff coming up, John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up after 1:30, we will go through the report that popped out over the weekend that the U.S. Department of Energy, and of course, the first time I saw that, I said, why would the U.S. Department of Energy be involved in the origins of COVID-19? Well, they oversee the laboratories. And
they
of course, that's a big part of the story.
And
so.
Some of the laboratories investigate bioweapons research.
Yes.
That's going on. Part of
so they issued
security.
A report. I love this. They issued a report with like low confidence that COVID-19 may have leaked from a lab. All right, so there's other agencies that investigated this, but they are agreeing with the FBI. That was their conclusions. We'll get into this and give you all the details after the news at 1:30. We have a press release that came out on Friday from U.S. Senator Marco Rubio of Florida. Rubio places committee hold on 7 Joe Biden nominees. And guess who is at the top of the 7? Eric Garcetti, nominated to serve as U.S. ambassador to India, whose nomination Rubio has previously voted against. He's with the Senate Committee on Foreign Relations.
Garcetti does not take a hint.
No, and of course, statement says, one of these nominees has ignored credible sexual assault accusations in his prior office. That's
Garcetti.
That's Garcetti he's talking about.
How does anybody refute that other than, you know, Garcetti's blanket denial of reality? It's exactly what he did. Now, this is the Democrat. One of the Democrats' pet issues has been sexual harassment in the workplace, right?
Definitely, especially since Me Too.
Right. The whole Me Too.
And again, Garcetti's the one that set up a special hotline number for people to report it.
That's right. And so during the Me Too era, the targets were Harvey Weinstein on down, and you saw big names all over the place get their careers destroyed. You know, and you know, it didn't matter. It didn't matter if it was straight or gay or what. But you saw Kevin Spacey, you saw Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Weinstein. There's some other lesser known but still very major, powerful Hollywood figures. And so, why should Garcetti be any different?
No, and as usual, they like to say, well, it's not just the harasser, but anybody that covers this up.
Yes,
anybody in a higher position who refused to deal with the complaints that were right in front of their face should be punished.
Silence is violence.
Right.
That's their phrase.
And anybody that knows anything about politics knows what happened next. Several, and actually many, loyalists to Garcetti just shut up and refused to cooperate with what was reality, that Rick Jacobs, his former top aide, was harassing all sorts of employees all over the place in that office.
Men and women.
Just a few brave people went outside the circle and called it like it was. And that's why the senators in Washington, D.C., yeah, so far they're mostly Republican, but there's a couple of Democrats who say, you know, there's probably truth to this because it's hard to get people to bust out of that circle of trust where we're headed for big things with Garcetti. Don't rock the boat and talk about what really happened.
Yeah, there's four Democratic senators who will not commit to voting for Garcetti, including the two Arizona senators, Mark Kelly, the former astronaut, and Kristen Sinema, although she has switched to independent status, but she's basically a Democrat.
Yeah, there was a Hawaii senator, too, that had her doubts, I thought, about the nomination. That was the list I remember from last year.
Yeah, I think Kristen Gillibrand in New York.
Right.
She was also withholding her vote, and I've seen a couple other names listed. He can't get the 51 votes he needs.
So what does it mean if Rubio puts a hold on it? Does that stay for long? Or
a hold means you can't just use a unanimous voice vote to move his nomination along. Now everybody's got to go on the record and vote yay or nay.
Oh, and the Times says they were supposed to take up these nominations tomorrow. Under committee rules, any member can postpone a vote on a nominee until the next committee meeting. That means a vote on Garcetti will not take place tomorrow. So I don't know when the next meeting is, but it could be a week later or a month later.
The Senate has an endless number of ways to tie up a nominee or tie up legislation. It is the most difficult, most constipated governing body you'll ever see. And one of them is that a single senator can put a hold. And not only that, but all the senators like to have that privilege. So unless it's really abusive and egregious,
yeah,
senators from another party aren't going to probably do anything to Rubio because they want their shot to do it to a Republican nominee down the road.
Right.
Right. So it's like, oh, okay, you don't like Garcetti? Oh, that's too bad. Boy, yeah, we really like him. But hey, whatever. They just go along with it.
Yeah.
And you know what the price is? At the very least, Rubio wants Garcetti to show up in front of the committee and just totally debase himself and admit to everything he saw and then explain why, if he saw all this, he didn't do anything about it.
Yeah, first time around, only one member of the committee, a Democratic senator from New Hampshire, Jean Shaheen, did ask him about the sexual harassment allegations. But I recall she was a soft touch.
It was. They were usually you honor the president's nominees, especially for low-level positions, because it's just a formality, so everybody rubber stamps and goes along. And unless there's something egregious, nobody wants to make waves. Again, partly it's because they got other things to do, and partly because when their president is in and making nominations, they don't want the Democrats to pull the same routine. But this Garcetti thing really stands out, and one of the reasons is you had his communications director, a woman, Naomi Seligman, a Democrat, come out and was very public about what was going on in the office and how much Garcetti stuck his head in the dirt.
That made all the difference.
That was the
nomination
point.
Got through the first committee. But before it got to the Senate floor, she signed up with that whistleblower organization, and they made a lot of noise about this, which made its way to a Republican senator's office, Chuck Grassley, and then he opened an investigation into the accusations, and they concluded that Garcetti knew or should have known about what Jacobs is doing. So that was key that she came forward and got that whistleblower group behind her.
So there's layers to this. First of all, a lot of tawdry stuff went on that Garcetti knew about and didn't stop. Secondly, you have Democrats uncomfortable with this, and a Democratic communications director who's doing a lot of the whistleblowing. And thirdly, if what Naomi Seligman says is true and all the other witnesses, then you have Garcetti lying to the Senate panel. He committed perjury. Now, that's what these senators have to deal with. They have to deal with approving a guy that they know lied to them in the committee hearing. Now, how do you deal with that?
He was also under oath in the lawsuit. Remember the lawsuit by the police officer that was his bodyguard?
Yeah.
He was also under oath. He took a deposition, and he denied to also. So he's lied several times in these legal situations, and not just to talking to the media.
And they don't know what else will come out. They don't know if there are other witnesses that have even uglier stories. They don't know if there's other victims involving other members of his staff. Because remember, there's a lot of crap that was going on in Garcetti's office. And we have his deputy mayor on trial for corruption going on right now. So
too bad we couldn't tie him up in that whole developer corruption scandal case.
I mean, it was so far. It was a dirty, filthy place in many different ways.
Now, the end of the Times update on this says that the former mayor has told people he has a planned trip to Ukraine, although it's unclear why he would head to that country. Garcetti's spokesman declined to comment on the trip.
Is he?
Hey, why would he, just because everyone else is going?
Is he volunteering?
Or is that going to be, he wants that ambassadorship now?
I don't know. Why would you go to Ukraine? What are you going to do there?
To just get in the news. I have no idea why he would go.
What an ego bag. What a colossal ego bag. Where can I go to get noticed? Oh, I know. I'll exploit all the suffering of millions of Ukrainians who are getting bombed to death by the Russians. I'll go there. And do what? I don't remember anybody asking for you to come.
All right. An update came out from the U.S. Department of Energy about COVID-19's origins. And they believe, more likely than not, it did come from a lab leak. We'll update you, John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. All right, coming up after 2 o'clock, we'll talk about the Palestinians. The Palestinians?
Palestine. Those people.
I know, it's Palestine. Palestine.
Palestine in Ohio, yes.
Yeah, East Palestine, Ohio, where, of course, we had that train derailment with toxic chemicals in the air. We are now getting more substantial reports of ill health effects from the people that live there. Aaron Brockovich, we mentioned, visited there late last week, not buying the BS that it's all clear as far as the air and water is concerned in that community. We'll bring you the latest in about 30 minutes on that story. We had a report that popped up over the weekend from the U.S. Department of Energy. They concluded that the COVID pandemic most likely arose from a lab leak. This was a classified intelligence report. Yep. They were undecided previously in an update they gave out in 2021. Now they joined the FBI with the belief that it's likely the virus spread through a mishap at a Chinese laboratory. Now, there are four other agencies, along with some national intelligence panel, that think it was natural transmission. And then there were two other agencies that were undecided. So if you're keeping a scoreboard on this, not that it matters. People are believing what they want to believe on this story.
Yeah, but except there's also truth. It doesn't. I have no interest in what wacky people believe in. I heard Dr. Robert Redfield today getting interviewed.
Not Redford, but Redfield.
Redfield. He was the director of the CDC at the time of the outbreak. And he went on publicly early on and said, this is likely from that Wuhan lab. And I heard him interviewed today, and he said, you know, I got attacked by my hometown newspaper where I live with my family and my grandchildren on the front page repeatedly calling me a racist. And he said, here is why it's likely that the virus went out of the test tube into human beings and spread. He goes, they were trying to claim that this is like the SARS virus and the MERS virus, which are two older viruses that there were outbreaks almost 20 years ago. And he said there was the missing piece, though, was those were animal-oriented viruses that did jump to humans, but in a very limited way. I think he said MERS affected less than 1,000 people. He said this was different in that it jumped to humans and spread insanely, very quickly. And he said, why? Because in the lab, they trained the virus to jump.
Gain of function.
Right, gain of function. The purpose of the lab was to see if they could enhance the virus and make it spread more easily. Now, you could ask yourself, why would they do that? Well, the darkest reason is you now have a new biological weapon. The story that researchers give is, well, you know, in the future, in case you get a virus that mutates rapidly, we can get ahead of it and have vaccines ready to deal with it.
All right.
Or maybe it's both stories. Remember, this is coming out of China. And it just reminded me, and I actually heard somebody play the clip today, the guy who got it right was John Stewart. He said, if you have a coronavirus.
John Stewart, the comedian who used John to have Stewart, the TV show, Comedy Central.
Right. But he was a guest with Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
And he went.
Oh,
on,
I remember that. Yes.
Right. And he said, well, if you have this novel coronavirus, and then in Wuhan, you have the Institute of Novel Coronaviruses. Gee, where do you think it came from? And he said it would be like being in Hershey, Pennsylvania, and if there was an outbreak of chocolatey goodliness, well, then where would it be coming from? It would be coming from Hershey. It would be, how could you not see that? They have never found a single animal with this virus anywhere in China. And three of the researchers got really sick in November of 2019.
Yeah, I remember that story. They were taken to the hospital.
So this is not an outrageous theory, but, oh, my God. You know, you go through the list of media outlets that called everybody and their brother racist if you suggested that it came out of China. And why this was, I don't know. I don't know why all these left-wing progressives had such an investment in protecting the Chinese Communist Party. Because that's who ran the Wuhan lab. That's who covered up the investigations. That's who largely was financing the research.
Who launched a balloon over our country.
That's right. And Dr. Fauci did send funding that zigzagged around and ended up in Wuhan.
It did, yes.
Yeah.
It got placed there, right. And part of it was gain-of-function research.
Gain-of-function research. So this is not a big mystery. It actually makes perfect sense. The whole story lines up A to B to C to D to E.
Now, yes, and because we can't get actual access to the ground zero possibility, the Wuhan lab, it makes it difficult for anybody to say conclusively. Like I said, this Energy Department report came out with, what did they call it, moderate confidence?
Low confidence. The FBI,
shaky, yeah.
Yeah, the FBI has moderate confidence. But I'm saying, what is the purpose of shutting down the conversation for moment one? They did this on all the social media channels. If you wrote about the China.
Oh, what complicated this was Trump.
Uh-huh.
Because he came out immediately, you know, with the Kung Flu.
Yeah.
And that just, Trump is always a racist. So all the media jumped on that and they would never accept any lab leak theory because of what he did to it.
You know, and that's really great.
Which is wrong because that's not science.
You can have your fanaticism. It's a free country. You can have your phobias about Trump, whatever it is, whatever Trump does to your brain. Fine. But that's not science and it's not journalism. Now you're just a bunch of people in the schoolyard calling each other names. You're a bunch of idiots.
Right. Right. And that's what really complicated the entire world the last 6 years was Trump. Because, you know, you can talk about the Hunter Biden laptop. It's all these stories they squelched. It's just a conspiracy. It's crazy people. The Russian dossier. And now the lab leak theory. They're all just undermined because if they come anywhere from the Trump camp or anyone that Trump would support on that issue, we have to squelch it. You're either racist or you're just a nutty conspiracist. Interestingly enough, a spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry piped up today on this report. And I have to tell you, her name is Mao Ning. Mao, like Chairman Mao. Anyway, this was not a science-based authoritative conclusion, and she pointed to the World Health Organization / Chinese study, which revealed that it was more likely from a natural origin.
The Chinese.
Now, you talk about that not being credible.
The Chinese are the primary funder of the World Health Organization. And the World Health Organization was forced to cover up what was happening in China in the early months. It happened in November, the lab leak. We didn't really know about it till January.
And December, the story started popping up about some strange flu in China. I remember that.
They never allowed any investigation early on. They lied constantly. The Chinese Communist Party is right up there with Russia. What they do is they publicly lie about everything, especially things that put them in a bad light. So if they make a pronouncement, you can assume safely that it's probably the opposite.
Right.
And I don't know if they were embarrassed. It doesn't seem like there's any evidence they did this on purpose. But and certainly it blew back on them pretty hard over the 3 years.
Oh, and by the way, that United Nations World Health Organization Chinese report, Beijing appointed half the researchers on the mission, restricted the team's access to critical data, and blocked the World Health Organization attempts to conduct a phase two study that would include a review of Wuhan's surroundings. So clearly, just reading that paragraph alone tells you the fix was in, and that's not a credible report.
No, so. This is perfectly in line with their character. It's like they're still claiming that the balloon was a weather balloon when we have the spy equipment.
Yes.
We've already announced that we have determined this was spy equipment, and they're still claiming it's a weather balloon. I mean, they're comical, but this is what we're dealing with. The question is, and Trump may be the entire answer to it, but if it isn't Trump, what was the obsession of so many people in the media and the social media companies to squash, not just squash the information, but try to demonize and smear anybody who offered the opposite theory, who just said, hey, we should check in to see if this was a lab leak and not an animal. And man, you were vilified from here to the end of time, viciously.
I remember at the very beginning of this, it was Dr. Fauci and his cohorts who were trying to put the kibosh on the lab leak theory. They lined up a whole bunch of experts to say, oh, not credible. Don't go in that direction. That was like in the first year of the outbreak. I was always suspicious of that. I don't really understand why they were so quick to try to do that too.
Because he knew that his money had financed the research. He's a smart guy.
Oh, he knew when that came out, the conclusion would be you did this with your gain of function research money.
And that other doctor, I think his name is Robert Danzak.
Yeah.
He got the grant from Fauci, his organization. And then Danzak directed the money to Wuhan. And what did Danzak do? If I remember this right, he got dozens and dozens of doctors and scientists to sign a public petition, and they bought ad space in the major newspapers saying that it is absolutely wrong that this could have come from the lab. Now, why did he do that? Why did he step out? A guy nobody ever heard of, he is suddenly organizing all these other scientists to put this ad out. And look at that. He got a check from Fauci. Oh, and the money ended up going to Wuhan, enhancing this particular virus.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Oh, we got some good audio to play next hour from old Joe Biden, who's doing another one of these network TV interviews with David Muir. You called him the underwear model, right?
The underwear model, yes.
Right. So he's getting a little aged now, though. Have you seen him recently? Doesn't look so boyish anymore.
Well, models get old.
Starting to fade. Yeah, I know. There was a bad inflation report that actually came out a couple of days ago, and Biden's blaming the media for the economy. You'll hear this in the clip we will play in the 2 o'clock hour. We'll begin, though, talking about the people in the vicinity of East Palestine, Ohio, who are coming down now with real illnesses. There was a train derailment a couple of weeks ago, which unleashed some toxic chemicals into the air and the water. And supposedly now, I just read over the weekend, the U.S. is sending a team there to investigate the claims of people's ill health effects. So we'll get into that, too, in the 2 o'clock hour. Some good news. We were just talking about COVID-19 and the origins of COVID-19. We have the latest update, John, on the flu shot. Did you get this year's flu shot? I did. You did, yes.
I did.
I took one in each arm.
Hmm.
I took the latest
COVID
vaccine in one. I did.
Yeah, I did that together. Too.
And then I read a month or two later you could get a stroke from that. Oh, well.
Hey, everything comes out months or years later. It's like 3 years later. Oh, yeah, COVID came out of that lab.
Well, you were right. The latest vaccine booster, which is the one, what did they call it? They had a name for it, right? It was supposed to help you with all the variants.
Bivalent?
Bivalent.
Bivalent, yes.
That they didn't really test it because they wanted to get it out there in the market. So they were just going to take real data from people who got the shot and then release some reports a couple of months later. And the first reports were good. They were encouraging that the bivalent shot was really doing. And a couple of months later, they're like, looks like some people had some strokes and some other problems. And particularly if you're older and you took both shots at the same time, the flu shot and the bivalent shot.
Yeah, they only had mouse research when they released it.
Yeah, I don't know that I feel like a mouse. That makes me confident. No.
No, and so this is the last, that's the last shot I take without them doing human research.
Well, the flu vaccine for this winter, because we're now almost in March, get this, 45% effective. Let's give a standing ovation.
That's a good number for the flu vaccine.
Yeah, usually they're around 30% or less. Right.
Yeah.
So it jumped, particularly among children, the flu vaccine seem to work, according to the latest research. And they believe that vaccinated children were 68% less likely to be hospitalized and 48% less likely to visit an emergency department due to a flu or flu-related sickness. Adults overall, 44% less likely and 39% less likely to be hospitalized. So it looks I remember the twindemic. What was it? The tridemic? They thought there could be three things going around.
Yes, because you had the RSV virus infecting children and the flu. And now the norovirus is making a sweep through the country. And
what?
Giving people the 24-hour stomach flu.
Oh, no. That's the buffet disease, I call it.
Yes. Yeah, that's the hottest thing going.
That's the one where you can get it by, in the hands on something.
That's
it
right.
Touching contact.
And you get the runs and the vomits for a day.
And that's why I call it the buffet disease, because everybody's got their hands on the spoons to pull the food into their plates. And then you walk right up behind them and you grab the same spoon.
First time I heard about the norovirus, which is really popular on cruise ships because of the buffet. That's it. I never touched another buffet again.
Yeah, also because cruise ships, people are just in close quarters everywhere they go. There's dance halls, there's clubs, and you're inside a lot of the time. You can go out on the deck, but you're inside a lot of the time.
A friend of mine got that just the other day.
Norovirus?
Norovirus. Well, all the symptoms of norovirus.
Oh, no. He vomited and he pooped?
Well, I didn't watch.
No, but I mean, he gave you the report.
Yeah, he gave me the report. Yeah, he checked many boxes. And I told him. I sent him an article on it. I said, I think it's this.
Is he a buffet person?
No. It's like, you just pick it up wherever you pick it up. It spreads faster at buffets and faster on cruise ships.
Right. The 2022-23 flu season actually peaked in November and early December. Positive tests hit 26%. Now we're down to just 2%. So the flu has really tailed off. And I'm not sure people even know if they have the flu or they had COVID. I mean, they could home test, but honestly.
Yeah. Anecdotally, more people I know had something this year. There seemed to be a lot of germs going around than I can remember.
Yeah, and I think that's because.
And it was everything.
Based on what I'm reading, people have really let it rip. I think the last holdouts about getting together in big groups or doing things that they weren't doing the 2 years previous are doing it this year. You probably already saw trip bookings are off the charts for this summer, especially to Europe.
Yeah,
people very difficult. The flights are very expensive. Everybody wants to go now. They finally said,
All the public nags should stand down because it makes everyone hate you. I know. Except for the mental patients, nobody wants to hear about any more restrictions, any more masking, and nothing. Just shut up. Go away. Because you keep doing this, the next big thing that happens, no one's going to believe you.
That's right. That's right. Because you cried wolf for so long.
And you didn't know honestly. You didn't know when to stop. That's the thing. Nobody would stop. Everybody was clinging to this state of emergency long after the emergency was over, years after it was over.
Right. Yeah. Does Barbara Ferrer still do those updates, those briefings that Steve Gregory used to go to and bother her?
I don't know.
I still get the emails. I saw there was one like 2 weeks ago that she was going to do like a live health update for LA County.
There's nothing worth covering unless you're into arcane health statistics. I mean, I'm not really interested in the number of people getting sick in LA County.
It just came out at 1:50 p.m. Public health reports 2,129 new positive cases, 34 new deaths due to COVID-19 in LA County since Saturday. Yeah, they still issue these reports.
Yeah, nobody reads them now.
It's the first one I've noticed in weeks.
You're the first person today to read it.
Yeah, somebody signed us up for this email, and so I don't do it for some reason, but I guess your email circulates. The John and Ken email ends up on all these mailing lists that I don't even know who half these people are, but I guess they suck up the email addresses, somewhere.
Yeah, and they go out of their way to find media email addresses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an intern job.
All right, when we come back, the people of East Palestine, Ohio, who were subject to that train derailment, are starting to report some real ill health effects. The government taking a closer look. Old Joe Biden says, you know, the economy, part of the blame here is the media. I haven't heard the clip, but I'm guessing he thinks the media is just too negative about the economy and it's sending the wrong message to people for consumer confidence. That'd be my guess. But we'll see what's in that audio. Get to all this. John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
And in for Deborah Marcus, Jason Middleton, live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season... We're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts... of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.